Warner is doing all kinds of training camp coverage with NFL Network. Says yes to Bickley and Murata and thinks he can finally rest for a morning. And then Ron Wolfley sends out the bat signal, all because the Hall of Famer got shot down. And Wolf can't control himself about it.
I know you guys are competing, right? Nothing's been decided on who's going to be the starter. Sam, I want you to tell me, day one, Sam Bradford's a starter for the Arizona Cardinals. Tell me why. And then I want you to answer the same question if you happen to be.
No, we're not going down this road.
Tell me what it is.
We're not going down this road. Kurt Warner has just grabbed the Coulter Automotive Group sports line. Kurt, was that the first time you've ever been straight-armed before, or did it happen on an interception or anything like that?
Well, yeah, definitely on the field. I can't say it's happened too often as I've been interviewing people, but you know, but it is what it is. You know, I mean, I know people are always conscious of not saying anything that could be read the wrong way, and you know, fully respect Sam for not wanting to answer the question. But it was, for me, it's one of those things that I've been there a million times in the middle of a competition, and you know, inside both of their heads, there's some dialogue going on that, hey, if I'm going to win this job, this is what I have to do.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
This is what I have to bring to the table. This is where I can separate myself from the other guy. And it's not a knock on the other guy or saying, well, he's not any good. It's just simply saying, I have something in my mind that says, here's what I have to do. You know, maybe it's Sam just going, hey, I just have to be a smart football player. I have, you know, experience on my side. Got to make good decisions, and I just got to stay ahead of Josh because he's a good young quarterback, you know, and then, you know, whatever it might be. So I'm always intrigued by that because I've been there, and I know the mindset that goes into it. And so I'm always trying to get inside and going, okay, just what is it? What separates you from the other guy? Because we all believe there's something. But again, at the same time, I understand somebody takes that and says, oh, that's me saying I'm better than Josh, or that's me saying Josh can't do this, or vice versa. And, you know, and you never want to, you know, A, you never want to put anybody in that position. So that was not my intention.
Yeah.
And B, you never want somebody to have something misconstrued or blown up that that really isn't that big of a deal.
Yeah. Right. The very first thought that I had, Greybeard, when you said that was, you know what? A producer's in his ear. Ask him this. Ask him this. Ask him this. So this was totally your idea, because I have to believe that you probably felt like you were going to get shut down a little bit, but you felt like you had to ask the question. Was that it?
Well, I mean, and I probably could have phrased it differently, you know, so, you know, and again, my intention was simply, I want to get in ahead of both of these guys, and as they're competing, you know, what are they thinking? You know, what's their mindset? Because, again, I've been there. I've been there when Eli was next to me. I was there when Matt Leinart was next to me. And everybody has a mindset that, hey, if I'm going to win this job, this is what I have to do. And, you know, I mean, and for Josh, it could have simply been, Sam's better than me. You know, if he's healthy, he's probably starting. So, you know, maybe he has to have some kind of injury for me to get out there.
Yeah.
But I just, you know, to me, I just love getting into the mindset of these guys and what they're doing. So, no, I mean, I wasn't coerced to ask the question. You know, maybe it was simply, you know, what's your greatest strength that you bring to this competition? I mean, I don't know what the question was, but you know, but again, it wasn't, hey, pitch yourself against the other guy and, you know, tell everybody where he's not very good. I mean, that wasn't the intention of the question.
Yeah,
but but again, I fully understand where Sam was coming from, have absolutely no problem with it. But, yeah, I mean, I'm always trying to get a little bit more inside of these guys' heads simply because I've been there before, and I know what they're thinking in their mind. So you try to get somebody to share that, but, of course, they weren't going there.
Kurt, of course, right there, saying you've been there before. Have you ever shut down anybody that has ever asked you a question? Because you seem way too affable to actually do that. Have you ever shut somebody down? Never.
Never have. You know,
okay.
And again, you know, but you always can control it as well. You know, you can always control you know, what you say. So somebody asked me that question, and to me it's simply, hey, man, it's been a great competition. I mean, Josh is a great young quarterback with a lot of talent.
Yeah.
But I do believe there's some unique things that I do, and you heard everybody talk. Sam gets the ball out of his hands quick, very accurate with the football, doesn't make a lot of mistakes. And so you judicially say, hey, these are the things where I think I can separate myself, not just from Josh, but from everybody. And that's what I need to continue to show in camp if I'm going to win this job.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, I've never really shut anybody down like that because I respect what people are trying to get. But the beautiful part of being the guy that gets to answer the questions is you get to give them whatever you want to give them. You don't have to, you know, give them everything they want, or you don't have to go down a road that attacks someone else.
Yeah.
You have to be judicious with how you answer it. You know, and so again, you understand both sides of it, and it is what it is. And, you know, I don't take any offense to it that Sam didn't want to answer that, because I've seen different guys answer similar questions, and it gets them in trouble.
Kurt Warner joining Doug and Wolf, even though he's running around like crazy media-wise and still answered the call of the bat signal for Ron Wolf.
Boy, you are everywhere right now.
Is big time. And then you just got the am I right? You just got the Radio Monday Night gig as well. Is that right?
Well, I mean, yeah, it's moving in that direction. We're still talking and trying to work out all the details. But yeah, I mean, it's something that I love doing.
That's awesome.
You know, Wolf, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, there's nothing more pure in calling a game than doing radio,
yep,
where you're talking football and you're sharing what's in front of you, and it's not all of the elements of TV, and it's not all of you know, the different things going on. It's just a purest way for me to just enjoy being at a game and sharing what I'm seeing with the listeners. So I love doing the Monday night games. I hope I can continue to do it for a long time, and we're trying to work out something where I can do more of them.
My goodness. Did we just drop?
I can just barely hear you guys. For some reason, the connection's really light. Can
you
repeat the question if you just ask me one?
Yeah, Kurt, are you there?
Yeah,
I'm here. Can you guys hear me?
I can barely hear you too, Kurt. So
okay,
I don't know what
that is. Did you hear my question? My question was, does Sam Bradford remind you of yourself at all?
Well, I mean, you know, Sam throws it better than I do, first of all. I mean, when you watch the ball come out of his hands. Do you see the ball come out of his hands? It's what a football is supposed to look like when it comes out of a quarterback's hand.
You were as accurate as any quarterback that has ever played this game.
That may be true, but my balls always wobbled a little bit too. So they weren't always that pretty. But he just throws a pretty ball. You know, I think, as you mentioned, very, very accurate quarterback. When he has the ability to set his feet, we've seen it over the last couple years. I mean, unbelievably accurate. And so, yeah, I think some of those things, getting the ball out of your hands, being accurate with the football.
Your pre-snap read, Kurt. Your pre-snap read was better than maybe anybody else had ever played.
Exactly. I had different strengths.
Yes.
You know, my ability to get the ball out of my hands. But, yeah, I think Sam has a lot of those same traits. And when you talk to anybody or interview anybody around camp, those are the first things they say. Quick decisions, accurate with the football, is really what's separating Sam Bradford right now. And so, yeah, I definitely think there are some similarities between what the two of us do.
You know, I'm wondering, Kurt, it's not like you piled into the family truckster and the Rosens have been on vacation with you or anything, and you don't coach him. But when you were covering the NFL Network event here at training camp, and as you've talked to him every now and then, have you gotten to know Rosen, as you've gotten to know him just a little bit better, what stood out to you personality-wise that you didn't expect?
Well, I mean, and again, I'm not going to say I didn't expect it. I think, you know, the media too often blows up different things about young men, you know, that are in the draft process and going through this. And, you know, I don't know where they get their information. And you talk to one person and they may say something and you talk to 10 more and they say something completely different. And so, you know, talking to people that knew Josh before, I got the sense that the narrative that was out there wasn't fully accurate. And so, you know, going into meeting Josh and getting to know him a little bit, you know, I was reserved to buy into, you know, that narrative of the cocky guy that thinks he knows everything, that whole kind of thing, and just wanted to get to know him for who he was. And I haven't seen any of that talking to teammates and coaches that are around him now. I don't get the sense that any of them have seen any of that. They've seen a young kid that's hungry, that's extremely smart, that's humble, and works hard and wants to be good and wants to prove, whether it's prove that he was deserving of the number 10 pick or prove that he should have been picked higher or whatever, that he's got a hunger to it. But that edginess that everybody has kind of talked about is nothing that I've seen to this point in the times that I've interacted with him.
Well, brother, you are the best, man. We absolutely love you. Thank you so much for calling in, and we'll talk to you down the road, okay?
You bet. Don't stiff arm me, though. I'm going to answer all my questions.
Never. Thank you, Kurt.
All right, guys.
Porter joining us. Gold Jacket winner from last year's Hall of Fame class joins us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. You can go to CoulterNissan.com, CoulterOnCamelback.com, or CoulterTempe.com for your next new or pre-owned car. Coming up next, you've got a situation in which the Arizona Diamondbacks have the opportunity to get on a roll. We'll tell you why next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Going through individual drills right now on the practice field. Good morning. It's Doug and Wolf here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. And we'll get back into a lot of our Cardinals conversation coming up at 8:30 and some of the things that's been said to us both by Josh Bynes and the rookie quarterback Josh Rosen. There's a lot to get to. Some good stuff from Mason Cole yesterday with Bickley and Murata. And then when we're done at 10 o'clock, Bickley and Murata will step in right here at University of Phoenix Stadium. And after practice, they'll have Chandler Jones on the show as well. So you'll be able to learn what he's expecting from himself. Yesterday, David Peralta came on the show right after the game. Or came on Burns and Gambo right after the game. And if you haven't done the math, it's crazy. Bear brought it up to us a couple weeks ago. Wolf and Paul have been talking about it a little bit. And then I mentioned it yesterday. While you were making fun of J.R. Smith not knowing what the score was, that's the last time the Diamondbacks won a series at home.
No.
Right.
Come on.
After the NBA Finals. It was the weekend after Game 4 of the NBA Finals. The Diamondbacks took 2 of 3 from the Pirates. They haven't won a home series since. And David Peralta, that's exactly where his mind went yesterday.
Well, you know, baseball is a game of up and down. So we have to really, like, you know, have the same attitude. And like you said, it's been a little while that we haven't won a series at home. But we're not looking at that. We just come every day and do our best, prepare ourselves the way it should be. And that's it. I mean, we just last night we lost. We turned the page and we came today and beat that and won the series. So
that's what made this series so odd. Looking at both teams, you could easily see that comeback in Game 1 burying the Phillies, and they come back and embarrass the Diamondbacks defensively with some of the plays and Diekman throwing the ball around. But on that same point, the Diamondbacks clearly didn't dwell on you know, kicking that game down the way and being so terrible in Game 2 and get the dominating performance of Corbin and Peralta yesterday.
You know, it was Gabe Kapler who said after that devastating loss to the Phillies in Game 1, his quote after the game was, they came back and won Game 2, was, we can take a punch. We know how to rebound. We're mentally tough. Well, guess what? So are the D-backs.
Yeah, good point.
Torey Lovello and that D-backs clubhouse, very resilient. You saw it in this series. That and the fact that David Peralta is basically doing what everyone's doing in their front yard today.
Yeah.
Raking. He was the monsoon before the monsoon storm that hit last night. I mean, and did you hear him after the game? He said there were two keys. He let the media in on what he called a little secret. Number one, his wife's cooking. I don't know. She's like, you know, she's gone next level, apparently. apparently elevated her game in the kitchen. He credited his wife's cooking and then the fact that his cousin is in town from Venezuela. And so the cousin is supposed to leave in a few days. We can't have that. He's got to stay at least through October.
Well, to your point about the home cooking, here's the numbers on the homestand. He batted 620 on the homestand. 18 for 29.
Oh, come on.
He scored eight runs, had two doubles, two homers, a triple, and five RBIs on this homestand alone.
Unbelievable.
His batting average in this series against the Phillies went up 13 points. Who raises their batting average in August by 13 points in three games? But that's what he did. Well, he's now a 300 hitter.
And not only that, too, guys, but David Peralta, and this is something that has been growing, and we've been talking about it. This guy's clutch. I can tell you he's hitting 297 with two outs and runners in scoring position. I can tell you that, Basinonians. I can tell you he's hitting 310 in late and close, something you reference.
I love late and close.
Something you reference all the time. But I don't need to reference those because David Peralta passes the eye test when it comes to clutch.
Torrey Lovello.
Think of how many times he has come through in the clutch.
Torrey Lovello, after the game, said, why? Because he loves it.
He loves to stand up in that moment, and those are some of the comments I think I was making yesterday where he wants to be right in the middle of all the traffic, whether it's the handshakes in the dugout or a key play defensively or standing up at the plate in the most, you know, the most critical time of the game. That's his personality. That's what he was born with. And with the great bat-to-ball skills that he has, he has not let us down.
I love that. That's what he was born with. I so agree with Tony La Russa that you can coach pressure. You can help mitigate its effects. I totally believe those things. Yet, I still think there is an innate sense. Do you want the ball hit to you in the ninth?
Yep.
Do you want to bat with two outs? Are you the type of person that says, give me the bat? Are you a receiver that says, give me the ball? How many players in basketball want to be the guy?
Yeah.
And then with 15 seconds left in the game, they're the first to pass it off because they don't want that pressure. Just, you can see it.
No doubt.
Some guys want it, and some guys say they want it.
It is as real as the counter I'm banging on here at University of Phoenix Stadium, Basinonians. And we all know clutch when we see it for the most part. I would say this about David Peralta. All things being considered, I'll take Peralta with the game on the line over any other player on the roster. If I had to throw somebody up there, I don't care if it's against a left-hander or a right-hander, I think I would go David Peralta.
You know, and at the middle of the year, we were saying Descalso, and unfortunately, he hasn't been quite as good. And Peralta was never a guy that wasn't on the list. But now, I think it's a fair argument to say.
I'm just saying right now. Again,
between Greinke, Corbin, and Peralta, these are the three best players on the Diamondbacks.
You know, and it's just amazing. Some guys I played with, of course, you know, they just had a knack for making a play. It didn't mean we won games. As a matter of fact, Payson audience, we did not. But when you start talking about Eric Metcalf, Roy Green, Neil Lomax, Kevin Mack, these guys put us in position to win games by making plays when it mattered most. And their profile in that locker room skyrocketed. I can't imagine David Peralta's profile in that clubhouse.
Yeah, yeah.
The respect he must demand.
Coming up next, Josh Bynes, Cardinals linebacker, joined us earlier in the show, and he said something very interesting about Coach Wilkes' style for training camp. We're here at University of Phoenix Stadium. We're watching practice, and we see exactly what he's talking about. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. I had to look it up because I just heard Maloney talk about it. So she's talked about the PGA. So I looked up how Phil's doing. He played the back nine first today. He par, birdie, bogey. Par, birdie, double bogey, par, par, bogey.
Whoa.
He's all over the place.
Wow.
He's at two over.
Yeah,
Maloney will keep an eye on the PGA. They're playing out of St. Louis in the last major. But we're all focused on Cards Camp 2018, A New Hope, and what's going on right now at practice. And both our conversation on air with Josh Bynes and off air with him, it was really an interesting guy and talking to him. And there were two elements that Steve Wilks is doing that he has really been impressed with. And one of them, he kind of talked about more off air. And what he talked about off air was, even though there are other coaches, he said Harbaugh did it a little bit in Baltimore, that you might have different times every now and then. but he said he really embraces the 8 in the morning practice, and then 1:30, and then 3, then an off day, and just how all over the place the practice is, because nothing's monotonous. And I told him this, and it was kind of funny. I said, well, you know what? I think the theory there is it's so different in the NFL now. It used to be you play Sunday at 1, Sunday at 1, Sunday at 1, and a couple teams get a Monday night game every now and then. And now it's a Thursday, it's a Saturday, it's Sunday afternoon, it's the late game, it's the Sunday night game, 3 games on Thanksgiving. And he stopped, and it's like he didn't put all that together. And he goes, yeah, you're right. That might be why we do it. It was,
you know what,
funny.
Honestly, I do know this right here, Mason O'Neill, and I think, Paulie, you'll definitely back me up on this, but I think Steve Wilks, there's a reason for everything that he does.
Well, then we asked Josh specifically about, okay, camp itself. How different is camp itself with this head coach versus a lot of the other ones that you've been to? And it was amazing because he wanted to focus on it's harder than anybody else's camp, yet there's a relaxation and a balance.
Coach Wilks has found that balance with camp. He's found where we're going to grind, but also knowing where in between is like, you know, he has some periods in between where it's kind of like you take somewhat of a break.
So he meant how hard they go at the beginning. Then a hard individual. Then, boom, calm down. Special teams. Then, out of nowhere, a goal line.
Yes.
A team. Here we go. Everybody's in. And then it's, okay, let's just run some plays and installs and relax. And how Wilks ramps it up and brings it back down, almost like an NFL game.
What's interesting about the way he does this, a couple of things. One, the morning practices are obviously more prevalent than they've been in the past. And look, the Cardinals are going to have a lot of those earlier kickoff times.
You're right, you're right.
This isn't like they're coming off 13-3 in NFC Championship and the next season they're loaded up with a half dozen national TV games. That's not their schedule this year. They have the Thursday night primetime game, and that is it, unless they get flexed into it. So I think the morning practices are by design. They're trying to get the body clock set, especially when you're going out to the Eastern and Central time zones. But then within the practice itself, you know, BA was more of you do some of the individuals and then you would hit midway through and you just run play after play after play for the whole last hour to an hour and a half. That is not happening in these practices. Whether it's better or worse, I don't know. I leave that up to the players. But, Wolf, I mean, it is keeping things fresh and unpredictable. Guys don't know exactly what is next from drill to drill.
There's no doubt about it. It's so amorphous out here when you watch practice. You don't know what's going to happen next. And I think it's interesting, Paulie, because I do believe that Steve Wilks believes in edginess, keeping everybody on edge and being edgy himself, right? And every great head coach I've been around, I can tell you right now, to some degree, sometimes it was too much edginess, Bill Belichick. But to some degree, I think every head coach has got to do that, not only with his players and keeping them edgy, but also with his coaching staff as well. He's got to be edgy himself and demand more out of his coaches.
This is a funny story. Before the red and white practice, I was trying to discern and ascertain whether there was going to be a one-on-one drill to start practice. I was doing a little bit of intel. Might have been asking a few assistant coaches because I'm trying to get our cameras positioned accordingly. The assistants didn't know. They said, it's up to Steve Wilks.
I'm telling you, man.
He will decide instantaneously. Now's a good time for one-on-one. Everyone gather around.
I think
that's unbelievable.
That is so fantastic coaching, not because the assistants don't know, but what it shows is this man not going with the flow in a negative way. He's totally prepared, but he's feeling the room. He's realizing this practice isn't going the way I want it to go. So instead of just being that coach that starts yelling at anybody to take it serious, which works once, but then it starts to go in one ear and out the other, okay, I need your attention. I'll get your attention with this drill. I'll get your attention with this one-on-one. I'll get your attention with, as you've been talking about for all week, Wolf, with, boom, we're going goal line, here we go.
Yep.
Josh Bynes even told us, I don't know if we were supposed to go live, but we were going to.
It was going to be live.
Right. So they made that decision. And it's things like that Wilks is doing.
Ones versus ones. Once again, it's something that doesn't happen in training camp because you're afraid that, you know what, honestly, there's going to be too much competitiveness and somebody's going to go down, right? Ones versus ones. We have seen that over and over and over again. Steve Wilks is definitely doing things differently here. And to your point, Paulie, listen, B.A. had his philosophy. Okay, and by the way, B.A.'s offense worked very, very well, right?
No, no question.
And he had his philosophy as to how to prepare a team. And by the way, they won 50 games. A very talented roster, there's no doubt about that. But anytime you lose your best player on offense and you go with your third-string quarterback for five games and you're 8-8, you've done a nice job coaching as well.
But remember, Adam Gase would tell you, That's why they lost their quarterback, because of B.A.'s offense. Do you want to get your quarterback killed?
Yeah, once again, though, he won 50 games in 5 years, right? So, again,
do you want to get your quarterback killed?
It doesn't mean it's a better way. It just means it's a different way. It's Steve Wilks. I like what I'm seeing. I love the fact that he does put the ball down inside the 10 out of nowhere and says, here we go, three plays live, right? Oh, by the way, it's not a period. We're just going to go three plays live because it mirrors an NFL game.
By the way, speaking of offense, something we saw yesterday, and it took my breath away, was that quick screen to David Johnson in the left flat, and there was Mike Iupati and Mason Cole leading the way. Arguably the most efficient and well-run screen we have seen by the Cardinals offense in like 6 years. And it was right out there for display. I'm very curious to see.
I don't remember them doing it well under Wisdom.
I'm very curious to see if we're going to get a lot of that out of this Mike McCoy offense.
Join Kevin McCabe and AZ Preps Live this Saturday from 9 to 11 at the Chick-fil-A just east of the 101 on Chandler Boulevard. You'll have a chance to win a free Chick-fil-A for a year, Cardinals preseason tickets, and more. Remember when the buzzes were supposed to be under 8 seconds? The Chick-fil-A High School Football Roadshow Series is going on all season. Visit the events page at arizonasports.com for details.
Doug and Wolf Show, 98.7 FM. Arizona's sports station. The hardworking player of the series is brought to you by Copper Point Insurance. Get to the point.
David Peralta.
You got some good options here with Patrick Corbin, with Zach Greinke, but Ron Wolfley, unprepared, he looked over at my sheet.
David Peralta.
David Peralta. So good job, Wolf, using mine. He batted .625 during this series, 10 of 16, 5 runs scored, and 4 RBIs. We're going to go with David Peralta and the home cooking, unless Paul's rebellious.
No, the dude did more damage than the monsoon storm last night. And just like everyone in their front yards, he was raking the entire homestand. So, yes, Wolf, hashtag no brainer.
And you went to the well twice, Paulie, and it worked both times.
And what's really amazing about David Peralta's homestand in general, but this specific series, is you have the clutch hit in which he starts the comeback at the bottom of the ninth. How does a guy have 2 home runs, a single and a double, when he went 0 for 3? He was 0 for 3 until
That's
the
right.
bottom of the ninth inning, and
That's
ends
right.
4 of 7 in an extra inning
yeah.
monster. And then yesterday, he goes 4 for 5. David Peralta is our hardest working player of the week. Coming up next, the CEO and the president of the Arizona Diamondbacks, as Derek Hall will actually be able to take some praise. They won on a Wednesday. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
I have the high privilege and the distinct honor of presenting to you the president.
He's the president and CEO of your Arizona Diamondbacks.
Hail to the chief.
Derek Hall.
The president.
On Now with Doug and Wolf. Presented by Santan Ford. Right on the price, right on the corner of the Santan 202 Freeway and Val Vista in Gilbert. We are Santan Ford.
Mr. President, am I correct in saying it's 2 in a row?
Yes, you know, 2 emotions, Doug. Number one, I'm ecstatic that I've started a winning streak on Wednesdays. And number two, I'm jealous that you guys are out there at University of Phoenix, and I can't believe we get started this Saturday. It's awesome.
It is. You know, it is awesome, and we love being at camp, and we love watching David Peralta right now. Nobody raises their batting average 13 points in 3 August games, and that's what this guy just did. But talk to us more about David, the person, because everybody thinks they know David Peralta, but what are some of the other things he does when a bat's not in his hand?
Well, you know, he's a great family member, great husband, great teammate. He's been our energy. We've talked about it on the show so many times. He's been our energy the last, you know, 3 or 4 years. I mean, this guy just, he is the energy. He gets things going, and he can hit anywhere in the lineup, never complains. It's nice to see him right in the middle of it, and he's been so productive in that 3-hole. But leading off a game, getting things started, batting 7th if he has to. He'll play anywhere in the outfield if he has to. He just wants to play. He's the first guy on the step to congratulate celebrate his teammates when they cross home plate. You know, he's always in the middle of action. I mean, he's a guy you want on your team, and it might be arguably the best story about any player right now playing in the game, period.
You mean because of his past, the fact that he actually started as a pitcher?
Yeah, well, that history. I mean, you know, here's a guy who was a pitcher and a very good pitcher, and he had shoulder issues and was out of the game, decided he would recommit himself, goes back to his home in Venezuela, works with his dad, learns how to hit and be a position player, goes to the independent league. Our scout, Chris Carminucci, who is phenomenal, you know, sees this guy and tells us we got to take a chance on him, and the rest is history.
Couldn't hit left-handed pitching and figured that out in a winter league session, too.
Yeah. I mean, he's a great story, and he's red hot right now, as you guys said. I mean, for him to have four hits in three different games on this homestand and to have six four-hit games this season, I mean, he's been doing it consistently. The guy's batting over 300, and we've had, you know, hot spots throughout the season. I mean, you can look at when Goldie was red hot and Pollock was red hot, and Marte's been hot at times. Ahmed right now is hot. But, you know, the thing about David is he's been that way all year long.
You know, and not only that, D, but earlier I was talking about this, and I truly do mean this. At this point, right now, this season, I don't know if there's anybody else that I'd want at the dish other than David Peralta with the game on the line.
It's cool that you would even say that, and I hope he hears that because he'd be thrilled and grinning ear to ear. But he's such a humble guy, and you know how important humility is too in all this.
Yes.
Yeah, and I agree with you. There's so many guys on our team though that I wouldn't mind seeing in that position, and that says a lot about our season. You know, Descalzo, we've all said that in the past. You know, that's someone who I want up there, and I still wouldn't mind Pollock, Goldie. You know, Goldie's always going to be the star of this team. You want him up there, the way Nick's swinging the bat right now. But nobody, I mean, and I don't think anybody on our team would argue, nobody's swinging the bat better than Peralta right now. You want him up there as much as you can.
Glad you brought up Ahmed. You know, I was in favor of the Upton trade, but I've always looked at Nick Ahmed as one of those guys, and you hate to say this, but one of those guys you're always trying to replace. And somehow he always beats, you know, other people out. But as a GM, you're always looking at it in the offseason and saying, okay, we've got to do a little better at shortstop because, let's face it, you know, 220, 215 is just not good enough. And yet, this seems like a season where Nick Ahmed is not just establishing himself, but Nick Ahmed is saying, I am the present and future shortstop of the Arizona Diamondbacks. Am I building up a little too much, or do you kind of see the same thing?
No, you're spot on, Doug. I think in the past we've always said, you know, oh, he's one of, if not the best, defensive shortstops in the game, and that's why we keep putting him in the lineup. And for him now to figure it out offensively, I mean, it's no longer just, oh, you know, Simmons and Hechevarria and Ahmed. You know, now it's, hey, this guy is a full player. He's a well-rounded player, and you like seeing him at the dish as well. And he's swinging the bat with confidence and authority, and he's hitting all fields. He's had some huge hits for us, as you know, and it's not home run or bust anymore. I mean, this guy started some huge rallies. He's driven in big runs. He seems to come up with the extra base hit when needed. And so many times we've seen him line one down in the corner at a key moment that either ties the game or puts us in a position to win. And we could not do it this season without Nick, who has definitely made a statement and said, I'm here to stay, and I'm going to be a shortstop for a long time in this league.
Derek, all wins are not created equal. How does last night's victory, how does that rank for you right now at this point in time? Because it seems pretty significant to me.
I agree with you, and I think, Wolf, this entire series, I mean, we stole one from them Monday night. You know, you look at the way that they pitched in that game and the game that they played, and we were really dead until the end of that game and came back. That was awesome. I think the next night, the way Greinke pitched, they stole one from us. So you look at that win Monday night, huge, and it set the tone for the series, and a very important series with another first-place team who we're trying to get, you know, home field advantage over should we have to play them. And then the second game, they steal it back, and then it comes down to the rubber match, and for us to finally win a series at home, hard to believe. But we've had a lot of four-game series that we've split, but I agree with you. Yesterday's win was very big for us. It sets the tone for a road trip that, you know, you're facing teams that have nothing to lose. It's always scary to go into those hometowns of those teams, you know, that aren't playing for much, and anything can happen, but you really should take care of business because you're playing now, you know, you've got Cincinnati, the Rangers, and then the Padres. It's a chance for us to really continue what we've been doing on the road. But for us to do it at home yesterday, really big win, Wolf.
every Thursday, 8:45, President and CEO of the Diamondbacks, Derek Hall, joins Doug and Wolf. I'm sure you're aware of this, but your exclusive home now of Dan Bickley is ArizonaSports.com, Derek.
Yep.
And he wrote...
Or as he would say,
He wrote a column the other day talking about the Dodgers-Diamondbacks, you know, rivalry. And we know, deep down inside, we'll never replace the Giants' rivalry with them. But I think the young players on the Dodgers could, you know, aren't thinking about the Giants as much as they think about the Diamondbacks. How about the little Twitter battle? Are you loving it? Are you a completely support when the Dodgers tweet out, hey, it's lonely up here on the top, and then you guys agree when you take over on your Twitter handle? Do you like this little foray back and forth?
Well, I do think there's a bit of a battle on the field that's been that way for, you know, 5-6 years, and it has become a rivalry. Now, you know, historically, there's nothing like the Dodgers and Giants, although I think we have snuck in there. And I think in both cases, and you can also look at us with the Rockies, we are very close off the field, you know, good organizations. We get along with one another, yet on the field, it's been a battle. And I think we respect each other immensely. The entire division's really that way. But when it comes to Dodgers, there's just something a little extra, as you know. And for them to put out that tweet, and I know they were having fun. It may not have been directed at us, and then our social folks had a little fun as well. You know, I'm more of the let's be quiet, let's play the game, and let's just keep our mouths quiet. But I give them credit because they had a lot of fun. And in today's day and age, it's not a bad thing to get people going on social media. And it got more reaction than anything since that dog that saved its owner from the rattlesnake that we had out here. And that was huge.
Derek, can you talk to us? Just go ahead and wrap this thing up with a little dissertation, if you will, on Eduardo Escobar.
This guy is
becoming one of my favorite guys, man. I love this guy.
He's so good, Wolf. And the fact that he can play anywhere defensively in the infield if you need him to is such a special trait. But then it's what he does with the bat, you know, from both sides of the plate. And this guy is an RBI machine. We knew it before we acquired him that he's one of the top three in baseball when it comes to runners in scoring position. And it happened again yesterday at a very important moment when it's 4-0. You're hoping you can tack on a little more. And here he comes, and, you know, the two-run double, and you think, with runners in scoring position and he's up there with one out, whatever the case may be, you feel very comfortable and confident that he's going to get the job done, and he did it again.
He's so tough.
Yeah,
you know,
he is. And a wonderful guy in the clubhouse. He's been a great addition culturally. He's a great fit.
You, I can say this. I don't know if you can. You need to beat some people up in this road trip.
I mean, I can't say that.
You look at your schedule the rest of the way. This is the road trip to lay on the lumber, isn't it?
It is, and I'm also focused on beating up on the Chargers, though it doesn't really matter.
Well done.
Saturday either.
Well done. Yeah. Well done. Good to talk to you, Derek, and thanks for your time.
Thank you, guys. Have fun out there. Good to talk to you.
Absolutely.
Look forward to next week.
Thanks,
President and CEO of the Diamondbacks, Derek Hall, joining Doug and Wolf at Cincinnati, at Texas, and at San Diego. You got to beat some people here and get some wins, and then home against the American League West is your next homestand. It's only 5 games, and it's not till August 21st. 3-city road trip against Reds, Rangers, and Padres. Madden 19 drops tomorrow, and we're celebrating by giving away copies every hour all day long. Just text Madden right now to 620-620 and listen to your name tomorrow with Doug and Wolf at 6 o'clock. Plus, one grand prize winner will score a console of their choice, PS4 Pro or an Xbox One S. What do you want? Once again, text Madden if you want in on this to 620-620. Coming up next, this isn't very good. So many good things, good news coming out of Cards Camp. One piece of news, still bad. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.